You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us on this edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing on Sunday. We're racing at Ayr and Market Racing domestically. There's also two Irish meetings to get stuck into on Sunday afternoon with coverage from Fairy House and Limerick on the show as well. You can join Jason Thornton in the chair. He'll be joined by John Budden and Andy Gibson throughout the course of the day. My name is Sam Norris though, and Paddy Aspel is the man on the podcast with me today. We're going to take a look at a couple of races from Ayr. Paddy, how are you?
Yeah, all good, thanks, Sammy.
Good, good stuff. Enjoying the continuing good weather?
Yeah, it's been great, hasn't it? We were just telling the lads in the studio earlier, I was in Jersey yesterday.
Of course, for Champion Hurdle Day. How did it go?
No winner yesterday.
Right.
But to be fair, I think it's only the second time I've drawn a blank since I've started going there.
Okay, so that's...
Can't give out too much.
No.
But, their watering system had broke down, so the ground was like... It was like a motorway. A motorway with a bit of brown grass on it. So there wasn't many runners. And yeah, very quick ground, but lovely evening meeting. And I enjoyed it. I just came back here this morning. But yeah, the weather's been... It's enjoyable, but... Like we see on Monday, luckily, thank God, I've got three rides because of it. But, you know, the Tuesday Wolverhampton card...
Yes.
You know, there was so many entries... Like some of them races, them 6 furlong races and 7 furlong races, you know, it's a 12 max field.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some races had like 70, 80 entries.
Yeah.
It's like stuff that you see in Ireland for the maiden hurdles, where you've, you know, it's just phenomenal. So fair play to the BHA, put the meeting on Monday as well and put divided the card up, three races and split them all. So because people now are, they're just not wanting to run on hard ground, you know. And the thing is, you know, especially at the evening meetings, if you've got to travel a horse through the day in this heat, and then by the time they run in the evening, the ground has had more time to bake.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually, from what you declared your horse on 48 hours before, you're looking at even quicker ground than what you know, you obviously knew you were going to get quick ground, but by the time the evening race starts, it's baked. And... You know, there's very few horses won hard ground, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, from my own point of view, you're not going to give out about the weather because it's been great and the winters are long enough, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they certainly are. And courses as well, Paddy, obviously keen not to list it as hard ground, even if it perhaps is hard ground, they want to get racing on. So we are ending up racing on conditions that are faster than advertised.
Yeah, definitely. And so therefore I think the all weather meetings are going to be way oversubscribed for the coming weeks, really. It's just that there's only going to be a certain quota of races there to suit certain horses. So there's going to be a bit of backlog when the weather finally does break and we get a bit of ease in the ground again, but it can't be helped, it's no one's fault.
Yes. Let's look back at some of Saturday's action then, and looking back at the Eclipse as well, which the race obviously lost a little bit, Paddy, with Massar coming out of the race. He was always going to be the standard bearer, taking on Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior, two horses that he beat in the Derby, of course. And those are the two that fought out the finish, with Roaring Lion just getting the better of Saxon Warrior. Had to chart a bit of a wide course for Shane Murphy on board Roaring Lion, but picked up well in the straight to see off Saxon Warrior, who, to be fair, has probably ran a decent race, given that he was in obviously a hot race in the Irish Derby just a week ago. What were your immediate reflections on the race?
Well, I was in studio for the Irish Derby, and you know, because I was keen on the winner, the Joseph Ryan horse, and he was I'd tipped him up for the race. I had just, all my eyes were on him.
Yeah.
And like, but we had several emails into the studio about afterwards Saxon Warrior not possibly not stay in the mile and a half. But really, once I watched it back a few times, and I kind of, not so much agreed, but because I hadn't really taken much notice, I thought, well, maybe so, because he's disappointed.
Been beaten twice at the trip, yeah.
Yeah. But having watched Epsom and the Curragh, like, he just didn't handle Epsom like 85 to 90% of horses don't.
Sure.
And, but he didn't stop. He just came home one pace. It's not like he's come there looming with a real big chance and emptied out a little bit. And the sectionals told us that.
Yeah.
That he'd actually, he was one of the strongest horses up the straight. So I didn't buy this theory that the mile and a half was pinching him, because more so I think people were thinking at this level the mile and a half was pinching him. But when you watch the Curragh race as well, Ryan Moore gave him the perfect ride. It gave him the chance to stay the trip. He was close enough, if good enough. But once they turned in at the Curragh, he'd seen that Donegh had loads of horse, and he's had to set about him a long way down at the Curragh, which, you know, the Curragh's a pretty stiff track.
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is, at the line, he's only beat half a length. And he was just beaten by a better one on the day. So for me, the mile and a half thing, I kicked it out, because, you know, the sectionals at Epsom backed it up, and he was beat on the day by a better one in the Irish Derby. So today at Sandown, Mick Fisher made a real good point on at the races the other day about how we're going to ride him.
Right.
Because obviously, a stiffer track, but, you know, because of these one or two people questioning his ability to stay at a mile and a half at this level, what would they do coming back to the Eclipse distance? So, but to be fair, there was no real change today, but he travelled sweet as a nut. He was as warm as he always is.
Yeah.
That seems to be his makeup now. He did it in the Curragh as well. But he travelled well, but if you stop the race two down, well, obviously you'd watch the whole race again. The grey horse had a much rougher trip, covered far more ground. But the way he came on the bridle two down, the grey horse, was very, very eye-catching. And he's really, really relished climbing that hill. He's really manned up this year, that horse.
Yeah, big time.
He's gone under the radar a little bit because he's run some solid races without really dropping on a massive one. But he's... Ushy Murphy has always been very, very sweet on the horse and, you know, his talents. But that was a good effort, because for me, I think it was a real good move running the Saxon Warrior in the Eclipse, and he's run his race. Therefore, it just sort of brings forward the performance of the grey horse, because just the way he travelled, and he was very, very strong to the line. And I think to me, it looked like it rode a pretty decent Eclipse.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to John Gosden as well. As you say this season, Paddy, made his seasonal return in the Craven, was sent off odds on, was smashed out of sight by Massar, who obviously subsequently went on to win the Derby. Roaring Lion got his head in front of the Dante, which was a much better performance, but they've got a Group 1 with him now.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we talk plenty about what a master Aidan O'Brien is. John Gosden as well, just absolutely superb at bringing these horses along.
Yeah, superb. And, you know, it's nice for Connections to have a good one again, because they've just been a little bit below the top level with some of the other, compared to some of their other rivals. So,
yes.
But, you know, they've got a good one again now, and they can go to war anywhere they want, really, because today he's proved that he's up there with the very best mile and a half, mile and a quarter horses in the country just now.
Indeed. Let's move on to some of Sunday's racing then. We've just got the one flat meeting in the UK, and that is at Ayr. We're going to take a look at a couple of races there, starting with the 440, which is a 7 furlong handicap, and pretty small field sizes, it has to be said, across the card at Ayr on Sunday. But this one, at time recording, has got 8 runners, so hopefully all 8 stand their ground in this one. And we've got Logie in there, who's probably going to go off favourite, Paddy. Bit of a Hamilton specialist, though, of late.
Of late he is. But he's got form at Ayr as well. I think the key to this horse really has been the fact that they've been going a stiff six with him.
Yeah.
They're actually creeping back up to 7 tomorrow, which he has got some place for him at. And he, for me, chased home a couple of very informed horses the other day. And apart from a couple of below average runs in the all-weather earlier in the year, he's not been out of the money all year since they've gone back on turf with him. And he's got the excellent Jamie Gormley taking 3 off, because he has got the welter burden of 10 stone 2 to carry. But he's not giving the stacks away, weight away, because next down Tommy G's 10 stone. So it's not like he is giving sort of £7 plus to the whole field. He's a horse in form. And I just think, although it is a relatively, on flat terms, it's a relatively stiff 7. It's by nowhere near as stiff as the tracks that they've been tackling just recently, although a furlong less. I don't think this 7 furlong is a bother on tomorrow. Smallish field, he's drawn 5, he'll just get a nice toe round, and I think he will give connections another real good run for the money tomorrow.
Okay, and that's Logie then in the 4:40 race. On to the 5:10, which is the concluding race then. A handicap over 5 furlongs for the amateur riders. Where do you go in this one, Paddy?
I've gone with the core specialist here, and actually he has won this, the last 2 runs of this race, in Perfect Words, for Marjorie Fife and Miss Becky Smith. He's 8-year-old now, this chap, and we know plenty about him, but he absolutely thrives, as we've seen, round this course and distance. He is drawn out deep enough in 10, so he's going to have to jump and get himself some sort of a position, but this jockey, to be fair, has been showing herself very, very capable amongst professionals, and mostly seems to ride over jumps. So Mickey Hammett has put plenty of trust in her, and she's had a pretty decent winter over the obstacles and is very capable from what I've seen of her. But the fact that he comes here on the back of another win, Marjorie Fife, very, very capable, and she'll obviously know that this is his time of year. So I think he ticks all the boxes here, apart from the draw. That's be my only negative, but it's an amateur race, so there's a 98% chance that there's going to be a bit of pace on, and I think he'll get a nice toe into the race, and he could just go back to back and win his favourite race.
Good stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Paddy Aspel on the racing at Ayr on Sunday. Don't forget, we've also got Market Raising, Fairy House and Limerick coming up on the programme. You can join Jason Thornton in the company of Andy Gibson and John Budden on Racing Radio on Sunday. Paddy, thank you as ever, and enjoy it.
No worries.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.